Acts chapter 13. Tonight, my concern is that you would not find yourself unwilling to believe the truth of God. You would not find yourself unwilling to believe the truth of God. We'll read from Acts 13, beginning in verse 37. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers and wonder. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. These three phrases we find in Paul's message to the people of Antioch in Pisidia, a city in what we would call central Turkey today. He says, be it known unto you, beware therefore, behold, ye despisers. They took him down from the tree. We read in the book of Matthew that a watch, 16 soldiers, had been set at the sepulcher of Jesus Christ. Four quaternion soldiers, 16 men, were to watch the sepulcher of this one Jesus Christ. A stone had been rolled in front of the tomb, and the stone was sealed. Dawn, the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven, rolled back the stone, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment as white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers, the watch, the soldiers, they did shake and became as dead men. The angel said to the women that had come to the tomb early that morning, I know that ye seek Jesus that was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. He goeth before you into Galilee. They departed quickly, and with fear and great joy, and as they went, Jesus met them. All hail! Stopped. They fell upon their faces before him. They held him by the feet and worshipped him. A bright and shining angel had appeared to them at the sepulchre, and they stood before this angel. But now suddenly before them appears the risen Savior, the crucified one, very much alive. And they fall down before him and worship at his feet. Then Jesus told them, be not afraid, and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and they shall see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. When they had assembled the elders and had taken counsel, they took a large amount of money unto the soldiers. They gave this money, saying, they said to the soldiers, they gave them this money, and they said to the soldiers, say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. They saw what happened. They saw the angel and fell on their faces as dead men, terrified at this event. They knew the women turning and running and the Christ appearing before them. And they crept back into the city to tell those to whom they answered what had happened. And those that they told, the testimony of these men, not one, Scripture says on this passage in Matthew 28, some, more than one, they went together, they had a combined testimony of what happened. Those who heard said, lie about it, and we'll pay you big for it. And they took the money, and they lied. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we'll persuade him and secure you. We'll take care of you, even though you've told this lie. They took the money and did as they were told. And it is a saying that is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. The soldiers were there. They were eyewitnesses. These 16 men were eyewitnesses of what transpired there. They saw what happened. They saw the crucified one alive. They took the money and spread the lie about what happened. Pause and just let these events sink into your mind. Such exceeding great wickedness. The lie that these soldiers were willing to perpetrate. The lie that the Pharisees and the leaders of the Jews were willing to spread, to pay for to have it spread. Such exceeding great wickedness. We read here in the book of Acts. But he whom God raised again, saw no corruption. When life leaves the human body, the body begins to rot. It doesn't take a half an hour for the effects of death to become evident in the body. In very warm weather, it is a very short amount of time, and the human body left exposed to the air becomes a very nasty thing. And when the Scripture describes here, he saw no corruption. You do not need to spend very much time looking at corpses that are allowed to rot, to understand that the word corruption is an apt word. But Jesus Christ saw no corruption. For God raised him from the dead. And now the Apostle Paul, he's traveled almost 900 miles from Jerusalem some years after these events, and he's entered into a synagogue of the Jews. And he's preaching there to him. And we've entered in to the latter part of the sermon that is recorded for us in the Scriptures. We read today. And Paul says, be it known unto you. This is the first statement for us to consider tonight. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren. He's coming near the end of what he has to say. And he says, I want to apply this to you. I want you to face the truth and the reality of what I have told you. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, and I would take this statement and apply it here to us tonight, to you tonight, under the sound of my voice. Be it known unto you, brethren, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. This man that saw no corruption, this one that is risen from the dead, Paul says, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. There is no more glorious message anywhere in all of the world, but that sins could have their sins forgiven, that you can have your sins forgiven. Search the world over. I wouldn't encourage you to spend your time on it. It's a waste of time. Search all of the religious writings that men have written and all of the libraries all around the world. And there is no other solution found in all of those pages anywhere in the world other than these pages, the pages of the Word of God, and that which is set forth in this book. Paul says, be it known unto you through this man, this one who saw no corruption, whom God raised again, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. What a glorious thing. My sins forgiven. There is no more penalty for my sin. Death is not far off from any one of us. And probably everybody in this room knows somebody who's died. Now, the scriptures tell us the wages of sin is death. God's death, God's wages, God's payment for sin is not only physical death, but it is an eternal death. How can one die eternally? Sinners die eternally, for God's word describes fire, which is not quenched. A lake of fire that burns and burns is an eternal death. It's the just penalty for breaking God's law. The sins forgiven. Forgiven by this one who's risen from the dead. Now they crucified him. He shed his blood. He died. He was buried. He's risen from the dead. And by him, all that believe, by him, all that believe, there is no exception. By him, all that believe are justified. They're made right in the eyes of God from all things which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. You could never be made right in the eyes of God by the law of Moses. But by believing in this one who's died on the sinner's behalf, there's forgiveness of sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, Paul says, we pray you in Christ's stead. Just a little different expression that he used here in Antioch of Sidon. Here he says, be it known unto you, brethren. In Corinthians he writes, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled with God, that the enmity that exists between you and God could be put to rest. For he hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Be it known unto you, therefore, brethren. And then Paul says, beware, therefore. He gives a warning. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. The scriptures are full of warnings. There are many warnings in the scriptures throughout his pages. In Isaiah chapter 5, we read, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning. Woe. It's a warning. Woe, wait. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. It's a warning. For there's trouble for those who live contrary to these warnings from the scriptures. In Proverbs chapter 1, we read, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand. The Lord says, I have stretched out my hand. I have called and ye have refused. and no man regarded. You have set at naught all my counsel. Ah, what does God have to say? I'll make my own way. And with none of my reproof. The Lord says in that passage, I will also laugh at your calamity. When your fear cometh as desolation, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. There is a place where his mercy, his long suffering, is extended no more. There are warnings in the scriptures. There were some people who came to the Lord Jesus and asked him, if those people whose blood was those Galileans who Pilate mingled their blood with the sacrifices, if those people were worse sinners than other people, the Lord says, no. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. They weren't worse than anybody else. They were sinners. And they died suddenly and they were all cut off. And he says the tower of Siloam fell and it killed 18 people. Were they more wicked than anyone else? He says, no. But learn the lesson of this terrible occasion. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And so Paul tells the people of the synagogue there in Antioch of Sidon, beware therefore, I'm warning you of something, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. And Paul then goes to the book of Habakkuk and he draws verse 5 out and he applies it to these people. And he says, behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. He's telling them, he's saying, look, don't let this word come upon you. Don't be a despiser of the work of God, a work which ye shall in no wise disbelieve. The despisers, he says, behold, ye despisers. The soldiers, they were despisers. They ran off to tell the Pharisees what had happened in the council of the city, the men of Jerusalem, the elders of the city. They all conspired together for this enormous lie. They were despisers. They despised the Christ on that occasion. The two women that saw him there, they fell before him. They wrapped their arms around his feet and they worshipped him there. Oh, they loved him. Not the soldiers, not the watch. They were despisers. I'm not a despiser. Jesus said, he that is not for me is against me. The despisers are those who do not believe. It does not take as virulent an action as that which the soldiers and the Pharisees and the elders of the city undertook. It is simply those who do not believe, who will not believe that there is a work of God in your midst. Paul says, behold, ye despisers, wander and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work in which you will in no wise believe. Though a man declare it unto you, his audience, the people he was speaking to, he was saying, don't fall into this. Don't be guilty of this, that you'll not hear the word of God. Well, he's warning them that their unbelief was certain to bring them ruin. This, again, the truth that is not hard to find in the scriptures, though a man declare it unto you. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There are those that are not going to listen. Paul says in Romans 10, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? But they have not all obeyed the gospel. And though the gospel goes forth, though the truth of God's word goes forth, though the reality of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, the very truth of these things, that this is the only way to have sins forgiven, is belief in this one. They have not all obeyed the gospel. The despisers will not believe. The Lord said to Isaiah in Isaiah 6, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. Then said I, Lord, how long until the cities be wasted without inhabitant and the land utterly desolate?" Isaiah, go with this message, carry it forth, carry it wherever you find people until there are no people to take this message to. Paul warns these people. Do not end up falling for this prophecy. For I work a work in your days, a work in which you shall no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. He warned them. And the very thing that he warned them of, they were guilty of. Or at least some of them that heard this word. We read down in verse 45, just a little ways down in the passage, the Jews were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Oh, no, Paul's not teaching the truth. The one that saw no corruption, the one that God raised from the dead, the one they took down from the tree and they laid him in a sepulchre. No, Paul is not teaching the truth concerning this one. They're despisers and they were guilty of that very thing that Paul warned them. Don't be despisers, but believe. But there were others that heard his message here in this city. Many others, many of the Jews did follow Paul and Barnabas. And there were Gentiles in that city also that glorified the word of the Lord. As many as were ordained unto eternal life. Well, they believed. I would hope that none of you would find yourself unwilling to believe the truth of God. Be it known unto you, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Beware, therefore, lest it come upon you which is spoken of the prophets. Behold, ye despisers. One perish. Oh, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Paul wanted to make sure. He said, be it known unto you. He was speaking directly to some people. I want you to lay hold of this truth. I say the same right now. I want each of you here tonight to know this truth for yourself. And that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, one who saw no corruption, who God raised him from the dead, is your only hope for eternal life and the forgiveness of sins.